Welcome to the Everyday Ministry Podcast, where ministers get together to discuss everyday ministry. I'm tired of running and running and running into the things that kill my soul. Tired of always swinging hammers at the love that makes me whole. I'm running. All the roads that lead to you, sitting off on a one-way train to a place where they know my name. Yeah.
Welcome to the Everyday Ministry Podcast. This is James, and I'm sitting here with a gentleman named Rob. Rob, if you would take the opportunity just to introduce yourself.
Well, my name is Rob Snitko, and I serve as the student pastor at the Branch Community Church on the northwest side of Chicago. I've been married for 3.5 years to my beautiful wife, Maggie. Yeah, I mean, I graduated from Moody Bible Institute with a degree in Biblical Studies and Trinity Evangelical Divinity School with a degree in theology, a master's in theology.
Awesome. So how long have you been at the Branch Community Church?
I've been at the Branch Community Church now for about 1.5 years, so entering into my second full year.
Okay. Did you come there right after your master's, or did you serve somewhere before that? Or
Yeah, prior to that, I was just kind of taking a break from serving at a church while I was finishing up my undergrad. Then I got into my master's, and halfway through my master's, I was able to come on staff here at the Branch through networking. So,
okay. Well, if you don't mind, just tell us a little bit about the church you serve at. You said you're the student pastor, and most of our listeners, as I am, is probably in the South. So just kind of tell us the dynamic of student ministry where you're at.
Yeah, the dynamic of student ministry where I'm at is really different than what I'm used to, because I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago. And once I became a believer, I got plugged into student ministry there. And it was very, suburban, very rich and wealthy. And, you know, that's what I was used to. That's what I thought youth ministry looked like. And then I moved to the city once I started my undergraduate work here in Chicago. And then once I got this position here as the youth pastor here, and I started to kind of evaluate and assess the kind of youth that is in the city, and it was more, inner city youth. And so we had urban environments and kids from all different kinds of contexts. And it was kind of like a culture shock for me, because, like I said, I was used to like suburban youth as being like the main example of what youth ministry looks like. But this kind of threw me off guard. And I actually got to a point where I was like, I don't even know if I can do this kind of ministry. Like, these kids are from all over the place, and that's not what I'm used to. But it was a learning experience and a learning curve. But yeah, man, you got kids from, all the different neighborhoods here. It's just very urban, and I actually really have grown to love it. And I prefer it over suburban ministry, just because you never know, what's going to come your way and how you can meet certain students where they're at in their lives.
As I got ahead of myself before, and I do that often, so that's all right. If you would just take an opportunity and kind of give us what your definition of a everyday minister would be.
Yeah, to me, I would say an everyday minister is someone who first and foremost begins each day on their knees, seeking the will of the Lord, both for that day and their future. And I think that's honestly where it's got to start. We can't neglect the power of prayer in ministry, especially as ministers, right? That's something that we ought to be doing, leading by example and ourselves pursuing the Lord and his passion for our lives. And then I'll say after this, an everyday minister is someone who is available, someone who's intentional, and something I like to use a lot is someone who's incarnational. I would say that these three are the essentials for the latter piece, the incarnational ministry. But I would say that that's kind of my definition of an everyday minister.
Okay. You told us about your ministry experience. And as I stated, I got ahead of myself. But just because I've never really heard it, and I'm curious, and so maybe the listeners will be as well, just tell us a brief summary of how you come to know Christ and then how you, why you felt called to ministry and why you've pursued this.
Yeah, well, I grew up in a very strict fundamentalist church, which to me ended up being more harmful than good in my faith journey. It was very rule-based and legalistic. So one day I just reached to this point where I said, God, if you're expecting me to be on my best behavior all the time, I just can't do this. So I actually went from growing up in a believing family to walking away from the faith because it was just too complex and too difficult for me. And so I walked away from the Lord and actually reached a point where I didn't even believe anymore. And I would say that during this time, I was pursuing worldly pleasures. This was a time in high school and early college. I'm trying to find fulfillment and satisfaction in all things that pleased me and my flesh. And after about 3 years of that lifestyle, I got to this point of just rock bottom. And I was contemplating if life was even worth living and what it meant. Like, what is this life thing that even exists? So I kind of started thinking about it philosophically and to an extent. So like I said, I hit rock bottom. And there's a moment in that where I just felt like God was nudging me to go back to church. And again, it was just this weird paradigm of I came out of a church where that was all that I knew when I heard the word church. And so nothing must exist outside of that for me. But seriously, I just felt like the Spirit is like, you got to go to church. You got to go to church. I'm like, I don't even really believe it anymore. So I had some friends who recommended this non-denominational church. And so I went, I tried it out. And of course, at the time, I didn't know what denominations were, but I approached this church, and while I'm there for the first time, I heard the gospel and what grace meant, and it just blew my mind. This caused my heart to stir, and when I got home that night, I just took the Bible and went to the first book in the New Testament, Gospel of Matthew, and I just started reading from the genealogy all the way through the resurrection, and that night, I read the entire gospel. And I was able to experience the freedom that I have in Christ Jesus from my sin. And so I recognize that if I repent and believe, I'd be able to experience this Jesus who's for me. And so I saw throughout the gospel that Christ has done everything for me and I needed to give back. And so that night I kind of gave my life to the Lord for real this time, you know, not none of this masked Christianity that I grew up with. And I believe that that too is a time when I experienced my call to ministry, where this is kind of how I define it. I say, Jesus died and gave his life for me. And now in Christ, I'm going to die to self and give my life to him. And I was pretty certain that ministry was my calling after that.
Awesome. I love hearing people's testimony, and it hasn't been a regular thing on the podcast, but as I told you beforehand, we're coming out of a church planning month. And so I wanted to kind of incorporate this and then another question in my interviews just to kind of get a better understanding of where the people we're interviewing is coming from, not only in ministry, but also just in life in general. And it kind of gets a big picture of, you know, why you feel called to where you're at and how you ended up there. So after that moment, after you come to Christ and all of that, and you felt called to ministry and all of this, and now you're at the Branch Community Church, did you have any other ministry experience in between those 2 points? Or
yeah, so I became a believer in 2010, and right after that, that's the church I was plugged into at Harvest Bible Chapel. And as I was there, one of the youth pastors approached me and kind of said, like, hey man, I'd like to get together and talk about a potential opportunity in the summer. So this was winter time, and we connected, we got together, and he pretty much said, you know, we have the student ministry internship program that I'm going to have available. I'd love for you to consider it. And so that was a time of my like discernment to see if that's where God was leading me, again, as a new believer, just trying to figure life out after that. And so it was just pretty evident that that's where I was supposed to be. And so for about 2.5 years, I served as a youth intern at Harvest. And that was kind of where I got my passion and desire for student ministry, because that was the time of my life where I wish I had somebody to come alongside, and I didn't have that. And so it was that youth pastor kind of pushed me and said you should apply to Bible college and kind of get more grounding in your scriptural knowledge and your faith and that sort of stuff. And so I did, got accepted, and that's pretty much what began that journey. But in that time, again, I was with Harvest, and then I became the hospitality coordinator for Harvest there, and then kind of stepped away a little bit from youth ministry and started focusing more on, like, you know, the greeting team ministry and the ushers and all that sort of stuff, the hospitality team. And then after that, I kind of needed a break from being in ministry, as I was still a student. It was too much for me. But in the midst of all of that, since coming to faith and before coming here, I've spoken at chapels, at camps, and I've really enjoyed speaking at camps because it's just meeting new students, new teenagers from all over the place, and just building connections and such. So I got a little affiliated with a little branch that came out of Willow Creek Community Church. It was called Teen Reach Adventure Camp. It was pretty much a camp for the kids in the foster care system. And I was able to go there and be their speaker, teaching them Bible stories and stuff. And that's been a really good opportunity for me as well. And that all eventually led to this. I started my graduate work, and then about a year and a half in, I was able to kind of come on staff here at the branch.
So as you mentioned earlier, and I brought up, one of the big passions you have, as we've discussed before the podcast and kind of what we could talk about, is the idea of incarnation ministry. Mm-hmm. So if we would, just take an opportunity and just define that and kind of paint the picture of how that fits into your calling.
Yeah. So when I think of incarnational ministry, I immediately think of it in regards to a theology of presence, of being present. Essentially, you know, how can you faithfully minister without being willing to be actively present in the lives of others? And I look at that in context of Jesus and seeing how he was constantly present in the lives of those who were with him. You know, we think his disciples, right? At all times, he was present among his disciples before he sent them off. And, you know, the woman at the well, how did he do ministry? He just met people where they're at. They had a relational, you know, component to that instance and situation that they were in. And, you know, you have the crippled beggar in John 5. You have Zacchaeus, right? He's climbing the tree looking, and Jesus looks up and says, I'm inviting myself to your house because I'm all about this. I'm all about being present with my people. And I personally think that Jesus just wanted to be present in his ministry. He wanted to be available. And so, you know, whether that's believers, pagans, you know, tax collectors and sinners, it didn't matter. Jesus became incarnate in order to be present in the lives of others. And so I believe that this is an essential piece, an essential component to be an everyday minister. And so how's that, you know, kind of applicable in my context? Well, with the students here, our biggest push is relational ministry. It's relational ministry. You know, you have the systems part where, you know, you got to coordinate your ministry event and your evenings and all these things and kind of what goes into it with, like, worship and teaching and stuff. Yes, those are important. But I do really believe that relational ministry, or what I call incarnational ministry, is, you know, the most important thing. So, you know, if we can't meet students where they're at the end of the day and invest our time into them, you know, why bother being in student ministry? And I think that's applicable with all ministry.
I agree. You know, as you're talking about that, I think back to, I read Mark chapter 2 today as I'm reading with my church through Mark this month. And I read it, you see that he's reclining with the tax collectors in this, and what Christ would take the opportunity and spend time with people. And I agree with you 100%. And I would think back to when I did youth ministry for a couple of years, people would ask me, you know, how do you grow a youth group? How do you reach the youth? And my big answer all the time was, you know, you got to meet them where they are, and you have to train the students to meet them where their friends are. Mm-hmm. And live life with them. And I think you hit the nail on the head when you reference an everyday ministry and looking at this principle, because I have a lot of definitions for what an everyday ministry is. Mm-hmm. One of them is doing ministry in everyday life. And that means if it's in your occupation, if it's at the gas station, if you're at a restaurant, just spending time with people. One thing about me, some people may think this is weird, but I go to the same two gas stations when I get gas every time. I got two of them, and I'm trying to get to know the people that work at one and people that work at the other, mm-hmm. and they're on opposite sides of my city. And I go to the same barber every time, and, you know, just different things like this to try to build those relationships with people. I guess the idea of the incarnation threw me off because really the way I would word it is the relational, but it's the same principle, it seems like.
Right.
So people may be wondering now, because I live in small town Alabama and speaking with you in Chicago, they may be curious at this point of how I ended up getting you on the podcast and kind of the story behind that. And it's really simple. It's somehow, some way, I don't remember exactly how, I listened to the podcast that you do called Soma Podcast.
Yeah.
The main focus was ministry, and that's why I wanted to talk about that first. But I want to take a minute and just talk about the podcast you do, and then we'll talk about the books you have wrote and are writing now.
Yeah, so the podcast that I'm a part of, my buddy and I, Zach, we started this podcast with the purpose of interacting with and being open to theological diversity. And in the midst of that, we look to make it practical. Hmm. And so in a world with so much theology and so many different perspectives that people bring about to the table, we were just fascinated and intrigued, and then also very interested in interacting with those theological conclusions and essentially having a platform for guests to come on from different theological backgrounds and to share, you know, how did you come to those conclusions in your theological background? And so we had some people come on our show who just are passionate about certain things. And again, they're very disagreeable topics, but we have it as a platform of being okay with that. So we get together and we start this thing and we just explore theological diversity. And, you know, we pretty much will talk about any topic. And so we brainstorm some things that could be controversial and some things that may not be so controversial, but just to talk about it and then create a safe space to not kind of, you know, try to argue about it and tell people they're wrong, but instead just kind of interact with how the Spirit and the sensitivity to the Spirit from people from all over, you know, different backgrounds, how have they come about to their theological conclusions? And so we just want to create a podcast that creates a safe space for that.
So you're telling me that two people can disagree on theology or have a good conversation about it?
Oh, yeah. As long as it's done in love.
That's right.
Well, the ironic thing, too, is like you said, you're a little you're more on the Reformed side. I kind of have Reformed inclinations myself. Zach, on the other hand, is very anti-Reformed and does not enjoy it at all. But it's just funny because we get along so well in our theological process.
Yeah. Well, it's like me and you talked about, and I guess we'll get on this topic when we address the book you're writing. And just so you know, because I didn't tell you this before, and this podcast will come out this third week of December. Mm-hmm. So I don't know when the book plans on coming out, but you can address it in that time frame. But, you know, like we were talking about before that we started recording, you know, there's big topics that we have to agree on, right? We got to agree on the gospel. We got to agree on the Trinity. We have to agree on Christ's birth and the different things of that nature. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to other things, I mean, we can disagree and still not only have a conversation about it, but we can work together in ministry.
Absolutely.
And I used to disagree when I was, and I wouldn't say younger because it wasn't that long ago, but I used to get so riled up of why we have so many denominations. And what I've learned is it's because we have different beliefs, right? And so when we reach someone for the gospel, you know, our church may not be the fit for that individual. If we build these relationships with people in the community, maybe we can point them in the direction for that person. But if we're arguing and fighting with people all the time about different beliefs, we can't do that then. So anyway, I just thought it was funny that, you know, in the world of disagreement, y'all do a podcast. And I've listened to, I think, every episode y'all have done, and I've enjoyed it, man. I enjoy the difference. The way that you approach it isn't just one-sided. And so often that's what you get when you listen to a podcast nowadays, is you get a one-sided conversation. Mm-hmm. And so I've enjoyed it so far. Well, on the The last thing I want to talk about, and then we'll do the plug of the week, is you have written one book already, correct?
Correct.
Called The Lessons Learned from Jonah. And just so the listeners know ahead of time, that's going to be my plug of the week, and we'll put it in the show notes. But I've actually been reading through Jonah. I do about one of them a day as like a little devotional almost. Mm-hmm. And I've enjoyed it so far. So tell us a little bit about that book and what led you to write it.
Yeah, so essentially it's a devotional, and it's a verse-by-verse devotional. So, you know, usually out there on the market, you have devotions that kind of highlight topics or themes. I just thought it'd be kind of cool to work verse by verse through a book of the Bible and then apply it to devotional practice. And so the reason why I wrote it is I actually was teaching the students the book of Jonah. And prior to the lessons that I gave them, I was journaling and doing my own deep devotions through the book prior to teaching it. And so as I was doing that, I was like, man, this is so powerful and it's really stirring my heart. And so I was like, I wonder if in some way I can write this to an audience. And so I just began writing, kind of thinking nothing of it. And honestly, it just became like this project that I got passionate about. And every day I woke up, I just wanted to write more about it. And so I compiled these 17 devotions and with the intention that churches would use them kind of as a small group study as they work through the book of Jonah. And so at the end of the book, actually, there's a section with small group study questions. So, you know, if small groups ever study through the book of Jonah, they can do personal devotions, they can work through the book verse by verse, and then there's questions at the end of the book to kind of help facilitate conversation.
Through the podcast, somehow I won a few copies of your book, and that's how I ended up with it. And you sent me two copies, and I'm one person. So if you don't mind me giving it away to somebody else, as we're talking about, if anybody's listening and they want a copy of that, the first person to share this podcast and go on like Soma podcast page and send me a message, I will give them a copy of that book for free. If you're cool with me giving it away for free.
I'm cool with that, man. That's great.
Okay. Awesome. Cause I can't read two of them. I mean, I guess I can do it, but it would be, you know,
pretty repetitive.
Yeah. Well, I could just use the other one again. Okay. Well, tell us about the next book you got coming out.
Yeah. So my new book is coming out soon here, and it's called God Is Not Black and White, Seeking Unity in a Theologically Diverse Church. Essentially, the point is this: if God was black and white, if he was clear, in other words, about theological issues, then we wouldn't have so many disagreements in the church. And it kind of stemmed from our podcast, the Soma podcast, where we talk about theological diversity. And I pretty much am talking about how the Apostles' Creed is the foundation, as we mentioned earlier in this podcast, it is the foundation of Christianity, right? And so you have the Trinity, the Incarnation, and the Gospel. These things we cannot disagree on. They are essential to our faith. And so I pretty much spend time in the book talking about how oftentimes churches split and divide based on secondary issues. And I'm kind of trying to disrupt that, because what good is that bringing to the edification of the body of Christ as one? You know, Jesus is constantly talking about unity, right? He's talking about union with the Father and how we can share in that if we participate in union with him. And so there's this unity language that Christ himself has come to offer for all of us. Well, our churches oftentimes will disagree on secondary issues, and we will seek disunity. We will disrupt what Christ has called us to, which is to be the church, right? So I guess an example is, you know, you worship styles. You know, you have a charismatic worship style, you have a liturgical worship style, you have a non-denominational worship style, you know, Episcopalian, you know, you have all these denominations. And so the question is, you know, who's doing it right? Which one is worshiping the right way? And I would say that if God was black and white on the issue, if he was clear on the issue, then we would have one denomination only. And so I'm pretty much talking about in this book how, you know, it doesn't matter which way you prefer to worship. What matters is that you're worshiping the one true God. And that is the God of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. That is Christ who's come and incarnated himself. That's the gospel, what he did for us. This is what's essential. But the way that you go about it let's embrace each other's diversity and become the church, just as we will be one day in paradise.
Sure. Well, what I find so funny, you know, bringing up the idea of worship, is worship will probably be nothing like what we have here when we all get to heaven. because you think about people from all over the world, from all over time in heaven, we probably won't sing many of the songs we sing now or do it any way we do it now.
Except for Good, Good Father.
Yeah, yeah. That and the Holy Spirit. Anyway, well, when is the book going to come out, or do you know yet?
Right now, there's no official release date, but it should be in the next couple weeks.
Okay, so it's coming out pretty soon?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're done with the book, hopefully?
Yeah, I'm done with it. I'm just waiting on some editorial stuff that comes through, and then the endorsements are coming in. So.
Okay. So if the book is out by the time this podcast airs, it will be in the show notes. If not, it, we'll try to put it up on our page afterwards and let you all know about it. Well, Rob, one way we always end the podcast is a plug of the week. The plug of the week I want to give, though, is go check out the Soma podcast. We'll have it in the show notes, along with check out Lessons Learned from Jonah. It's a great little devotional. It's obviously not a commentary or nothing like that, but that's not what it was written to be. It was written to look at it in a devotional sense, and it does a fantastic job of that. And like I said earlier, for the one lucky person that will share this episode first and send me a message, I will send you a copy of that book for free. But Rob, as we get ready to end the podcast, is there anything you want to add? And then also, if you would, just tell us how we can get in touch with you if anybody wants to. Any social media handles or anything?
Yeah, really appreciate being on the show today. Thanks for having me. If you want to get in touch with me, you can either contact me through Twitter, which is at Rob Snitko. The same is true with Instagram and Facebook. Or you can just visit my blog, which is www.myfullname, which is robertsnitko.com.
All right. Well, Rob, I've enjoyed the podcast. Look forward to hearing from the new book you got coming out. And as everyone listening, I hope y'all have enjoyed the conversation today about ministry, about podcasts, and about denominational cooperation in essence. So we hope this has been an encouraging episode to you, and we hope you have a good day.
If you're encouraged by what you hear, please go like our Facebook page, share the episodes, and rate the podcast on iTunes. Don't forget that a new episode drops every first and third Mondays. Our prayer is that these episodes are an encouragement to you and that you would be faithful in the ministry that God has placed you in. I'm sick of running into the wind that strikes my back, bounce on to start kicking and screaming. Gotta get out of here fast. I'm my feet are pounding.